They had the atonement, the old covenant, but in the New Testament it says you have the remission of sins. Remission means wiped away, washed out, forgotten about, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You don't have an expiration date.
Amen.
You apply the blood of the Old Testament, it was good for a year. You apply the blood of Jesus, it's good forever.
Amen.
Just like your prayers have no expiration date. They're deathless.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Prayers outlive the life of the prayer. You better be praying for your grandkids that aren't born yet, your great-grandkids that aren't born yet, your great-great-grandkids that aren't born yet, because when you die, those prayers will still be working. So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
God bless you. Welcome today to More Than Conquerors program, Terry Mize Ministries. One more time. We are delighted always to share with you the good things that we have found that are foolproof, you know, really wonderful weapons of our warfare that will really help you in every area of your life. Just like David the shepherd boy picked out five smooth stones out of a brook and put them in a bag evidently and took them and used one of them to slay Goliath. We've found, Terry has seen this over and over in his ministry of 56 years, how that these five, we could say components, compartments, divisions of the weapons of our warfare are so effective. And it keeps you, when you think of it that way, Terry, if you can think of it in the category of like you used that day with the hitchhiker, and if you can think of it like that, it keeps you aware of all that is available to you, everything that is available to the Christian from the promises, the covenant, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, all of these things that are available to you. And sometimes I think when people are in a battle, Terry, human nature, you just forget, you know. You may even own a series of tapes about something that or CDs that'll help you. Or you just came home from a seminar that taught that maybe last month. But in the heat of the battle, the mind just goes into a frenzy and fear. And people don't remember even the good things that they've been taught from the Word of God. So that's why we're going to be making these available to folks. And along with the CD of you teaching about that. And so just the topic we want to talk about today is the Word of God, the Bible.
Well, because I've in that sermon, I've been comparing David and Goliath.
Right.
And me and the hitchhiker.
Yeah.
You know, that hitchhiker story is 50 years old this year. October will be 50 years.
My.
But people have asked me for decades, how did you do that? How did you get away from that? How could he not shoot you? How did he shoot five times and bullets didn't hit you? And I've just always said, well, I just used the name and the blood and the Word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I did it again.
Yeah.
Then I did it again. And I'm not sure people even picked up on that sometimes, but you keep doing, you don't do it once and die. You do it until you win.
Right.
And so we've been comparing that back and forth between what David did, because David used all those things.
He did.
And that's why we've likened those five smooth stones that he picked out of the brook and put them in his bag. And I just asked the Lord decades ago, is there any significance in the fact that there were five stones?
Right.
Because I've heard a lot of preachers say a lot of different things. But the Lord, it just quicked up in my spirit, just came up in my spirit and said, It was the name and the blood and the word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that's what I've always used. And that's what most Christians, I think, that win, that's what they do. And so the various stories that people know about me and know about my ministry and know about some of the miracles I've had, raised a little baby girl from the dead, dead for 12 hours, and I held her up for 12 hours, and God raised her from the dead. And then Jackie told me she couldn't have children, and I said, well, sure you can. The Word says, and I gave her the Word, I gave her the covenant, so we had four babies. And she wrote that marvelous book, Supernatural Childbirth, that's still preaching today. We still have people come up. Just this last week, wherever we were, somebody came up and said, I tell you, I use Jackie's book. And your Jackie's been gone now for what, 11 years? Yeah. 11 years. Mm-hmm. And yet she's still preaching.
That's right.
We're still calling those babies Jackie's babies.
That's right.
But, you know, I gave her the Word. I said, here's what the Word says about having babies. Here's what God said about having babies.
Right.
And then I used the Zimbabwe drought story, wherever I went to Zimbabwe, and the drought was horrible, and the government said everybody's going to be dead inside of a month. And so I declared and called it to rain and said, if it doesn't rain the next 24 hours, I'm not a man of God.
Wow.
And you won't ever have to listen to me again. But I decree this in the name of Jesus and the office of apostle God's called me to. And it rained the next day and broke the drought and continued to rain. And so I just keep comparing those various stories that people have looked at. The Dina plant in Mexico, same thing. It was going to close down. I said, that plant will not close Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock near thereafter. And if it does, you can tell everybody in these two cities that Terry Miles is a liar. And I'll pack my bags and be gone because I'm a false prophet. And so, of course, it didn't close. In fact, that was 1977. It's still open today in 2024. That's pretty good. But I just kept comparing those testimonies of mine with what David did.
Exactly.
And then I've had people say, yeah, but David didn't have the name of Jesus because Jesus, that was Old Testament. David didn't have the blood of Jesus, that's Old Testament. David didn't have this and that. No, and I said, no, David. And I went back and proved in the Word. He had the names. He had all those names of God. And he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Wow.
And then, of course, he had the covenant. You know, he knew about the blood. And they said, well, the blood of Jesus hadn't been shed yet. Yeah, but he knew about the blood, putting the blood on the sacrificial goat, the scapegoat, having the atonement of sins.
Right.
And so just all the way through, I just likened what I have done over in my entire life in ministry to what he did when he faced Goliath, that he used the name. Then he used the blood, then he used the Word, then he used the covenant, then he used the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if it wasn't the power of the Holy Spirit guiding that rock and taking that giant out.
Yeah, you know, a little bitty rock.
Yes. So anyway, you had these stones made just as a reminder to people to just, I mean, they're not a magic charm or something like you call and order blessed water from the Holy Land or something. They're just reminders. There's little hooks to connect your brain to. You sit down at your desk and you say, "Oh, the name and the Word and the blood and the Word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit." So anyway, that's all about.
And the whole deal, Terry, too, is that like you're saying, they're little hooks, they're mental hooks, and we did them as close to what we thought, you know, David the shepherd boy would use. Mm-hmm. And then we had a company laser these for us, and these bags are all handmade by a friend. And so, I mean, we're just trying to do something to help you stay on track. Because sometimes as Christians, we act like we can't hold two thoughts in our head at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That we've got to be able to use the plethora, the abundance of all the weapons that are afforded to us because of the covenant that we do have based on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we talk about the Word. That's from Romans chapter 10, where Paul said, we preach the Word of faith.
The Word of faith which we
preach. The Word of faith that we preach. And then he goes into that wonderful discourse talking about how are people going to hear unless someone is sent, you know, unless they hear it preached. And then how are they going to hear it preached?
To call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
But, four questions. But how can they call on someone who they've not
heard?
How can they hear about, or not believe? How can they believe on someone who they've not heard? Question two. How can they hear without a preacher? Question three. And how can they preach unless they be sent? Question four. Then he ends it by saying, so then we see that faith comes by hearing. Verse 17. And hearing by the Word of God.
Hearing,
I think you need to fix your microphone. I think it's scratching against you.
Oh, hearing by the Word. And it's that hearing of the Word of God. over and over and over again. That's one of the wonderful things that can be afforded to you because of the technology of this generation, mm-hmm. is that you can turn us on, turn us off, turn us back on, pick up where you left off, get a CD,
sure,
watch television.
Sure.
All of these wonderful things that are given to you to keep you on track so that the enemy doesn't distract you. He may try to distract you with a brush fire or a problem or a crisis here and there, but if you come back to where you were and stay there and keep going down that path, and like you said that day, you didn't just do it one time.
No, that's the secret. That's the key.
That's the key. And what people don't understand with faith sometimes, because of scriptures like Jesus said, you know, say to the mountain, you know, and then, you know, whosoever shall say, all of these different things, even in the Beatitudes, we pray and we believe in our heart that the actual target that we're looking for is success.
Right.
And that's what we're believing. I believe I'm going to come out of this alive.
Right.
I'll live and not die.
Right, right.
That's my declaration of faith. But then the acting of that out was what you did with
absolutely.
The word, the blood.
And people don't realize how important repetition is.
It is.
You know, if you're
we can't
if you're
emphasize
fight,
that
if
enough.
If you're in a fight out here, you don't just hit the guy one time. I mean, you hit him and hit him and hit him and hit him until he's subdued.
Right. Exactly.
You know, police officers are trained and those in firearms are trained that you continue to shoot until the threat's eliminated.
Exactly.
These school shootings and what have you, the police are supposed to go in. They haven't in some cases, but they're supposed to go in, and they're not supposed to go check on kids and see if they're all right. They're supposed to run to the sound of the shooting,
right.
and then fire at that shooter and keep firing until the threat's eliminated.
Exactly.
So that's what I did in with the hitchhiker, with him having the gun in my ribs and then in my head and everything. I would use the blood, the word, the name, the covenant, power of the Holy Spirit, but then I'd do it again. I didn't just do it
that's
one time.
That's such a key.
I said, in the name of, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. The blood of the covenant of blood. You know, and just over and over again. Same with that little baby girl. 12 hours of her being dead, and my dear friend,
my
American medical doctor, standing beside me saying she's dead. But there's no telling how many times in 12 hours that I use the names, and in the name of Jesus, that I use the blood, that I use the word, that I use the covenant, that I use the power of the Holy Spirit. And not just from Romans 10, as you said a while ago, is where
right.
that comes from.
Yeah,
it's all through the Bible. That's how Jesus operated. When Satan came to tempt him, first thing he said was, it is written.
It is
and he went to the Word.
Right.
Then he tempted him the second time, and he said, it is written. And he went to the Word. And then he tempted the third time, and he said, it is written. And he
yes.
went to the Word. And so all through the Word of God, you know, you'll see little phrases where somebody says, Paul or Peter or James, somebody says, it is written, or as it is written. And they go
amazing?
Refer back to the Scriptures again, which the only Scriptures they had was Old Testament. I get tickled at people today say, I don't like the Old Testament. I can't stand people that preachers that preach out of the Old Testament. I think, well, everybody in the New Testament did.
Yes.
Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Paul
yes.
quoted the Old Testament. Peter quoted the Old Testament. James quoted, I mean, they didn't have the New Testament.
Exactly.
And yet they were living in the New Covenant, very definitely the New Covenant, but yet they kept referring to the Old Testament. All those promises, you go back to the Old Testament, are still valid and still good.
Well, that's right. It's like even that statement in Romans 10.
I use them all the time.
That statement that Paul made in Romans 10, well, he's quoting Deuteronomy 30, you know, there that he's talking about. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to cross an ocean
right.
because the word is near you, even
right.
in your mouth.
Even in your mouth,
I mean,
and in your heart, the word
Paul's
of faith
quoting,
which we preach.
Paul's quoting what Moses said in Deuteronomy.
Sure, sure.
You know,
well, it's all through the Bible. They refer
exactly.
to the word.
Yeah.
You know, and then later their words became the word.
Yeah.
You know, because the New Testament then was written.
I always like, you remind me so many times of Billy Graham always saying throughout his ministry, the Bible says.
The Bible says.
The Bible says.
How many times did he say that? The Bible says.
We say the word because so many of us, even though we were Christians, our lives took on new meaning when we really found out how to win, which is what this tape, your CD series is about.
It's how to win every time.
It's how to win every time.
Absolutely.
And when we found that scripture in Romans 10, that it's the word of faith, Paul said, which we preach. And he was describing that he was preaching the Bible from a faith perspective.
Exactly.
That you've got to believe in. And you just taught this up in Charlotte, North Carolina a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. talking about there that in Hebrews 3 and 4, that because the children of Israel did not mix faith
right.
with the word they heard.
Yeah, it says they had the word preached to them, just like we had
just
it preached
like
to us.
Had, yes.
But with them, it did not profit them.
It didn't profit.
Then it tells you why. Not being mixed with faith.
Faith.
So he said, you've got to have the word preached, but you've got to mix it with faith, or it's not going to work for you.
Yeah, we can break it down to you real simple. It all comes down to what comes out of your mouth, and you got to guard your heart, guard your mouth.
Absolutely.
Then it comes down to basically two things, faith, again, and prayer.
And
you want your prayers answered, you want your faith to work.
Faith comes down to three or four things. Their faith is always going to speak.
Yeah.
Always, you got to be talking. You got to be saying something.
That's right.
It's going to come to actions. Faith
yeah.
without works is what? It's dead.
It's dead.
So you can't just throw the word out there and
do
nothing.
You always have to act.
There has to be an action.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a commitment.
Right.
Like Jesus, when Jesus said in Mark 11, to the fig tree, when he
right.
said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever.
That's so good.
He committed himself, because the very next line, the very next verse
yeah.
is the most important verse in that whole story. It says, and his disciples heard it. Five of the most important words ever written in the Bible. And his disciples heard it. What does that mean? Why is that important? Because 12 men were following him. They had left their wives, their kids, they left their jobs, they left their business, they left everything just to follow him.
Right.
And so now, if he's going to do something that's crazy sounding, is to talk to a tree, and they heard it, now he's committed, something's going to happen to the tree.
That's right.
Because if they come back there in 2 weeks and somebody's eating figs off that tree, then the Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association is going to go down the tubes, because they're going to say, well, the boss is talking to a tree, that's really weird, but he said, no man eat fruit of the year after forever. That was really weird, but now there's a guy over there eating a fig from it.
Right.
And so they just leave him. I mean, I would, you'd leave him.
Yeah.
So he committed himself. Now something must happen to the tree. Like when I said, if that doesn't happen, I'm not a man of God.
Right.
If that doesn't happen, you can tell everybody in these two cities that the God of Terry Miles is a liar. I decree that as an apostle that God called me to, and if it doesn't happen, I'll pack my bags and leave town. There's a commitment there that if I don't,
right.
if God doesn't do what I've just decreed, then I'm in trouble.
Well, just write that down. Faith speaks. Faith has to act.
There has to
be an action. And then you have to be committed to what you were determined to come out of those situations you were in and be the winner.
And
you know, it's like T.L. Osborne always told you, you stay till the devil leaves.
Stay till the devil leaves. Yeah.
You do not quit midstream. You do not let the clock or the calendar or even what's on either side of the decimal point intimidate you. You stay with it. If Terry would have given up on any one of those dynamics, the clock or the calendar, the day of the week, anything could have stopped him
yeah.
because it was taking too much time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
with the
your
little
head
baby,
goes
the doctor stopped me
you.
At 9 hours, and he said, Terry, I'm concerned about you.
Yeah,
now, he
right.
didn't do anything wrong. He's a great guy and a great Word of Faith man. But he's a medical doctor, and the girl was dead. She'd been dead for 9 hours. And he said, Terry, I'm concerned about you. She's dead. She's D-E-A-D. He spelled it for me. He said, now put her down and we'll bury her in the morning. At least you got her parents saved earlier
right.
In the evening. And I said, no, I'm not going to bury this baby. So 3 hours later then, been at 12 hours now,
yeah.
she began to cry and God raised her up. And so what if I'd have quit at 10 and a half hours?
No, exactly.
You know, 11 hours, 11 hours, 45 minutes. I mean, you know, it's you just stay with it till you win.
I hope in this segment we can get the pictures that they just sent to us the end of last year of little baby Blanca.
Yeah, who's now a grown woman with three children of her own.
With her two children and her mother and dad.
Right.
To show the pictures of her as a baby, lifeless and dead.
Yeah, dead.
And then here she is alive today in her early 40s with
two of her three children.
And then her parents
and then
her along parents, with her.
Who I got saved.
Got saved in that
while
meeting.
While she was dead. And then the precious missionary lady, her husband's gone on to heaven now.
But still
but Miss
there.
Barbara Stolfus is still there. And
what
a picture of her
and
Blanca together. But it's like David said when he was trying to convince Saul, King Saul, that he actually could go take
right.
care of this Philistine,
yes.
this man without a covenant, this loser,
right.
this uncircumcised Philistine, and that he could rescue Israel, he could save Israel. because David said to him, oh, look, I kept my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came out
wow.
and took a sheep out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it, the sheep, out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and killed him, both the lion and the bear.
That's such
he
a
He didn't kill
fierceness.
Him with the sling and the rocks and, the, and all that. He killed him.
He wasn't standing
he went
way
out
over
nose
there.
To nose, eyeball to eyeball, hand-to-hand combat, and killed him. And then he said about Goliath to King Saul, he said, and thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. What does that mean, as one of them? It means graveyard dead. When I get finished with him, he will be graveyard
like
dead.
Just like a lion and a bear.
And he didn't say, I'm big and I'm bad and I'm David and I know what I'm doing and
right.
I'm a martial artist. No, no, no. He said, the Lord that delivered me.
Hallelujah.
The Lord that delivered
Lord.
Me out of the paw of the bear
wow.
and out of the paw of the lion, he will. He didn't say, maybe he'll deliver me or I hope he'll. No, no. He said, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So he stated... He made the declaration. Faith
right.
commits itself. Faith speaks. Faith
right.
acts. So David spoke,
right.
he acted, he committed himself,
That's
and he
right.
won. Then he went out there and quoted the scripture to Goliath, because it says that Goliath cursed David by his demon gods and said, I'm going to kill you, so on and so forth. And David said, no,
this day
I'm going to take
right
your
now.
Head off your shoulders.
Right now.
He didn't even have a pocket knife. This day I'll take your head off your shoulders. And all this assembly shall know there's a God in Israel. He said, for the battle's not mine, wow. it's the Lord. He's quoting scripture to him. He's quoting 2 Chronicles 20 to him, that he's been out there meditating, keeping those sheep. And he said, for this, it's the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts.
And this day,
Jehovah Shabbat.
Yeah, it's not the guy that comes with a sword and a shield and a spear. It's the guy that comes in the name of the
in
Lord.
The name.
And
with
he will fight my battle for me. Well,
the
scripture says several times that David knew those scriptures where it says, the battle is the Lord's.
I would encourage all of you to get the fullness of what we're saying is to, after this broadcast today, or after you hear it, go and get your Bible and read out loud to yourself as though you're preaching it, 1 Samuel 17.
Yeah.
And literally preach that to yourself so
just,
you get...
Don't just take it the way you've heard it all
yeah,
your life.
No,
actually
no, no.
see what
read
the Bible
words.
Words say.
Read the words, because sometimes it's, you know, traditionally taught and then it's Bible taught. So you want to get the Bible taught rendition
sometimes
of it.
Sometimes it's Bible mythology. It's not
yeah.
what the Bible says. You need to
right.
go in there and see what was said and what was done.
You know, David asked them, as you aptly point out in your sessions, he asked them to repeat to him,
yeah.
you know, what he was going to get. He was going to get his...
He asked him to repeat it three times, actually.
Yeah. If he went out there and fought Goliath and won, his father's family would not have to pay taxes anymore. He would get great riches personally, and he'd marry the king's daughter. And David said, tell me that one more time.
Yeah, ask him three times to repeat
three
it.
Three times.
He wanted to make sure.
And it wasn't like he just, you know, righteously indignant, like you point out, and went out there to fight Goliath.
Yeah.
No,
you
he wanted to do
sermon.
It before
you ought to contact
somebody
my
else
office
did
and
it.
Get this message on how to win every time, because then you'll understand everything we're saying to you.
Because it's so important for you to understand how to act your faith in 2024 and 2025 and 2026
Absolutely.
And every area of your life, for your healing, for your body, that you don't quit just because it doesn't feel like anything worked in the first 10 minutes. You don't quit. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. And you keep moving the needle with your words. You keep moving.
Do it again.
Same thing with your finances. You keep calling in the money. You keep calling in the job. You keep calling in the right position that you want. You do not quit. You're a warrior. You know how to fight. You get in there and fight. I mean, Daniel stood 21 days in prayer, you know,
sure.
before the angel of the Lord showed up and said, we've been trying to get here for 21 days and couldn't make it. Finally, we're here today. And it just is amazing to me what happens out there in the realm of the spirit, Terry.
Oh, yeah.
If you keep talking here on earth, the word of God, things in the spirit start happening and demons will start resisting the answer coming to you. You don't know how God's going to bring the healing or how it's going to manifest. But if you keep talking the word of God, you're giving heaven ammunition to fight your battles for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as you're breathing, there's still possibilities.
That's right. I mean, that's such a profound statement.
As long, stay until the devil leaves.
As long as there's life, the possibilities are endless. If you can talk, mumble, groan, moan the word of God, I'm telling you, keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep talking your faith.
But, you know, even after Goliath cursed David by his demon gods and said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat you, all this stuff. Then the most important scripture in that whole story of 1 Samuel 17 is verse 45. It says, then said David to the Philistine. And that's what there's got to be. There's always got to be a then says you, because what? Faith speaks. You've got to speak. You're going to have to speak. You're going to have to act. You're going to have to be committed.
That's right. And you can't be embarrassed. You can't be timid. You've got to build courage into your own spirit. And that's why reading the Word of God out loud where your ears hear it, you preach it, you see it, you say it. It changes your perspective. It'll change your personality, Terry.
That's right.
It'll change even your DNA. I mean, it's amazing. Medical science has even proven that. What you say out of your mouth will change your DNA. I mean, here we are. We're talking about creative, life-changing miracles.
Amen. We're out of time.
One more time. Hallelujah. Well, we've had a good time today. We've about preached ourselves happy, but we just want to help you, and we got to teach it ourselves and live it ourselves. So we want you to know one more time, we're believing God, praying for you, and saying you are
more than conquerors.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Did you ever think that God's sitting on high looking down on you and dishonoring, disrespecting, not thinking much about you? You know, God said to me when I was just a teenager, He said, I told Joshua to do three things, that if he'd do those three things, that he would prosper and be healthy. At that time, I'd never heard anybody in my church talk about prosperity. I'd never talk about anybody being successful. And God said, if you'll do those same three things, you will be prosperous, you will be successful. And so I immediately went to Joshua 1:8 to see what God told Joshua. And he said, talk like God, think like God, act like God. If you'll do those three things, you will be prosperous and you will have great success. It absolutely changed my life and it'll change your life. God said, don't let anything from this book of the law not depart from your mouth. Don't let anything come out your mouth but the word. In other words, talk like God. Then he said, meditate that day and night. I mean, not once in a while, not twice a day, but he said all the time, meditate the word of God day and night. And thirdly, he said that you may observe to do, or to be a doer of the word, to do according to all that's written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. That was just before I went into the mission fields permanently as an 18-year-old kid, and it changed my life. And I've been all over the world, lived in the jungles, lived in the desert, lived everywhere, watched God do miracles, and He's prospered me and made me successful, kept me healthy, saved me. He'll do the same thing for you. Get in the Word today and do those three things.
In this powerful, best-selling mini-book, God's Opinion of You, Terry Mize explains biblical foundations on how to receive and use the authority God has given you. A mini-book that fits in your pocket, but packs a big punch. You'll learn to see yourself how God sees you. Righteous, blessed, more than a conqueror. Get your copy today at terrymize.com.
He just kept telling me that he was going to kill me. And I kept telling him that he was not. I said, God, if he pulls the trigger, my job is to believe your word, and your job is to do something about the bullet.